worship, but also for that prayer. Her prayer was, you know, what I was thinking about, you know, saying too, that we want to lift our hearts to the Lord, not just today, but also in the coming days and in the coming weeks. As you know that, you know, we've been covering the theme of stewardship for several weeks. We talk about stewardship of treasure. We talk about stewardship of testimony or the gospel. We also talk about stewardship of time and the stewardship of temple. Today we're going to be, you know, covering the last T, the five T's of stewardship, the stewardship of talents, of abilities, of opportunities. And we are hoping that, you know, even though we keep talking about stewardship, one, we pray that the theme is not too overwhelming or overpowering. Number two, we pray that each and every one of us, the pastors included, would find a way of learning lessons of stewardship from time to time. Maybe the same lesson over and over again until we are comfortable with it, or maybe new lessons of stewardship. But nevertheless, we pray that at the heart of our stewardship commitment is the love and the grace of God, because we recognize that God has already given us life eternal. He has already made us into new creations in the Lord Jesus, and therefore it is possible for us to share, because all that we have came in the first place from Him. Today we're going to look at the example of Peter and John in the story recorded in the early chapters of Acts chapter 3. I want to use this story to share about stewardship of talents, because, you know, in a very simple and yet in a very powerful way, you know, Peter and John actually are very good examples of stewards of talents, abilities, and opportunities. They didn't seem to have much, and they seemed to be outnumbered to one plus another person. But when these two people team up, and more importantly, when one plus another person team up with God, you see amazing results. And very often that is the case for believers such as you and I. When we team up with another servant of Christ, when we all together team up with God, when the whole church comes behind the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, you find amazing things happen. We may not all be doing the same thing, and we won't all be having the same gifts, the same opportunity, the same strength. But God said, it's okay. I'll take one here, I'll take one there, I'll take one here and here. He sees hearts and He reads minds. And God says, together, I'm going to create something amazing in your midst so that people would know that I am with you. And I want to use this example as, you know, an example of stewardship, because I believe that, you know, part of what Peter and John were thinking about was how to share, how to be faithful stewards of the grace and of the power God has blessed them with. Why do I say that? Because, you know, if you go back to one chapter earlier, chapter 2 of Acts of the apostles, you would find that, you know, God was doing something amazing for the early church. You know, the church was born. And when the Holy Spirit came down on the believers, people started hearing them speaking in different tongues, tongues that other people won't understand, but tongues that they could understand because they were from the same area. They also saw miracles, you know, miracles of God, power of God, you know, doing fantastic things, you know, and they knew that it could not have been the result of human hands. So on that day, after Peter preached, 3,000 people became new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostles, you know, including Peter and John, were very, you know, well aware that this were not our powers. This is from God. They have experienced grace upon grace. They have experienced, you know, opportunities upon opportunities from God. They have seen, they have felt, and they have also personally experienced how God was moving among them. So when you have received so much from God, what do? You find ways to digest it. You also find ways to communicate, to share with other people. In other words, you know, you want to be good stewards of what you have experienced in the Lord Jesus. I say this because, you know, I know that they were mindful of the fact that, you know, they ought to be stewards of testimony. Why? Go back to one chapter earlier on. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus reminded the disciples to stay behind in Jerusalem through prayer, reading of the word of God, breaking of the bread, and wait upon the Holy Spirit, Jesus says that, you know, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll be filled with power. But that's not the end of it. And then you will be my witnesses. You'll be giving testimonies about me in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and throughout the ends of the earth. And now that whatever Jesus had, you know, foretold came true, so they were mindful that, you know, now it is their opportunity, their turn, to be stewards of testimonies, just like Jesus had told them beforehand. And not just stewards of testimony, but stewards of talents and stewards of time, stewards of treasure as well. So, you know, in the mind of Peter and John, they were thinking about, you know, how could we assimilate what we have just gone through in so short a period of time? And how can we also at the same time share that, reflect that in our everyday lives? So this is what we're learning from them, you know, stewardship of talents, of abilities, of talents, of opportunities. One of the first things that we notice is that, you know, between Peter and John, first of all, they were people who keep doing the right things. They did the right things, you know. We notice that, you know, in Acts chapter 1, this is what they were doing. Peter and John were going or on their way to the, you know, to the temple, to the synagogue at 3 in the afternoon for the hour of prayer, you know. So try to picture this, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, every day at the temple, at 3 o'clock, they have a prayer time. There's a prayer meeting, and people would go and attend the prayer meeting. So today, without exception, Peter and John were also heading to the prayer meeting, you know. They were doing what seems to be a just everyday thing, a very simple, a very normal thing. But the important thing is that, you know, it happened to be the right thing by God. It happened to be an honorable thing in the eyes of God, you know, gathering with other people for prayer, you know. It wasn't a very amazing, wasn't a very extraordinary thing, you know. After all, it's just another prayer meeting, people could say. But the very fact that, you know, in this verse 1, Peter and John did not forgo the habits of praying together, attending prayer meeting, or attending worship services, you know. It's just like another thing that they would do at 3 in the afternoon every day. They were doing the right thing. It may not seem very exciting. It is actually mundane for some people. However, it is significant because they were doing it. They were doing the right things by God. And one of the things is that, you know, when you and I, either individually or collectively, when we want to use what God has blessed us with to share with people, one of the things that we have to remind ourselves and one another is that, you know, let's keep doing the right thing by God. It could be regular or daily reading of scriptures, you know, trying to understand what God has for us today in His Word. And that's why we're very glad that David Moyer is coming, you know. It could be that, you know, visiting, all right, visiting other people, maybe the shut-ins, maybe someone that you haven't seen for a long time, just want to communicate to them Christian love and care. You know, in fact, you know, if you read in the bulletin, Garrett and Eric are organizing a visitation team, you know. I want to tell you that, you know, visitation can be very, very fun. Believe me, very, very energizing, very, very uplifting in the spiritual sense of the word. It may take a little bit out of you because it can also be very draining. Traffic, you know, talking to people. But I tell you, all those are secondary or even tertiary to the joy of what God can do through you in just one single visit. It can be other forms of ministry too. But the point is that, you know, whatever we know to be right in the eyes of God, could be in the church, could be, you know, in the marketplace, let's keep doing that. You know, let's not forget like the Bible says, you know, to pray regularly by way of supplication, intercession, and by way of giving thanks, you know. So in this case, we see Peter and John doing just that, you know. People doing the right things. Just a very seemingly ordinary prayer meeting at 3 in the afternoon. But somehow, God noticed it. The reason why God notices is that, you know, they were faithful. They were faithful in the things that they know are pleasing and acceptable to God. And because they are faithful day in and day out, even though not many people might have noticed them, but somehow God noticed, and that's enough. God sees their faithful service and he says, you know, I'm going to bless them and I'm going to use them, you know. Doesn't matter whether they have much or they have a lot less, but because of their faithfulness, that is already in their hearts, you know, doing the right thing, even though it's gone on unnoticed, unacknowledged, unsung. But God says, I notice that faithfulness and I'm going to do something with it. So Peter and John were doing the right things by God. But also very importantly, when you do the right things by God, when you want to serve God, you know, it doesn't matter whether it be in the church or outside, you notice that one thing is that, you know, you will have to rub shoulders with people, individuals. And sometimes, you know, it can be a little bit, what's the word? Unpleasant, okay? Sometimes, all right? But not always. However, when you do get interrupted in your plans, in the things that you want to do for God, you know, don't get discouraged, because we see that as a very important feature in the examples of Peter and John too. One of the reasons why Peter and John were used by God, you know, in this very simple yet powerful example is that, you know, at the bottom of their hearts, there's love. There's love for God. There's love as a result of that for people. God uses stewards of talents, people who want to serve to make an impact, because first and foremost, there's already the love and the grace of Christ in them. In fact, you know, God uses people who love people more than anything else in life, you know. So in verses 2 and 3, we read this, you know. There's a man who wasn't able to walk from birth, you know. He was king, being carried to the temple. And it seems that this is an everyday thing, you know. And there he was, you know, next to the temple door, and Peter and John were about to enter the door for the prayer meeting, and this is when this man, you know, interrupted or interjected them, you know. How would you have felt if you were Peter or if you were John, you know? You're about to enter the building for prayer meeting, and that's supposed to be something very important, holy, you know. It's time with God. Should not be interrupted or interfered with. And then all of a sudden, you have this person, just as about you're going to come into, you know, the church building at 9:25, you know, 5 minutes before Sunday school begins, you were interrupted by a stranger, someone who was just standing or happened to show up at the church door and say, hey, you know, mister, or can I have a few minutes of your time? Can you help me with these, you know, 5 minutes. 3 minutes before service begins, how would you feel? What would your answers or response be? But somehow we see that Peter and John were willing to serve. They were willing to be stewards of whatever talents and opportunities God has given to them. Why? Because they want to learn how to put people first. And we realize that, you know, sometimes serving, helping out, getting involved is not a statement about ourselves, that we do not have any needs. In fact, when you want to serve, when you're willing to be involved, you know, we still have needs, and we have a lot of needs. But serving is about caring for people, showing them God's love. It's about building other people up in Christ. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? Maybe it's so plain and so simple that we don't think about it often, but in the Bible, when Jesus died on the cross, do you know, Jesus did not die for the entire universe. Even though the universe is corrupt, broken, and badly needs a fix, Jesus did not die for the animals. He did not die so much or specifically for our pets or our plants. But what did Jesus die for? Who did Jesus die for? He died for human beings. He died for the entire humanity. And that's what Jesus accomplished on the cross through his death. And in the last day, when we see the new heaven and the new earth, do you know the only continuation from this life, this world, into the next? It's just one thing, human beings, you know. The Bible never said that, you know, the old world, the old universe, the current universe is going to be renewed, repackaged, and then after that, somehow, God will make it fit and become part of his new heaven and new earth, you know. God did not say that, you know, the rainforest is so amazing, you know, a blessing in this world, that God would transplant the whole forest after fixing it up, cleaning it up, and then put it in his new heaven and new earth. But God says very clearly that in the new heaven and earth, you know, the people who are going to inherit part of the eternal fixture of the new heaven and earth are human beings. Human beings who allow God to come into their lives to change them. Human beings who know what it is to experience and lift up the love of the Lord Jesus. Human beings are precious in the eyes of God. It is sometimes difficult to serve people, but yet, you know, in God's eyes, there is no better way than serving him, than serving fellow human beings, you know. Maybe sharing with them a little bit about the love of God. Maybe just lifting up their spirits. We could come up with a lot of excuses or even so-called good reasons that Peter and John could have produced in responding to, you know, the beggar's request. Perhaps, you know, Peter and John could have said, you know, hey, what did I put down? We're here to help you. We would love to help you, but right now we are late for church, you know, and if we don't hurry up, we'll definitely be late for church. Peter and John could have said that, you know, oh, we heard you, you know, we know that you have need, but, you know, we would love to help you, but this is not a good time. You know, could you please go away, maybe come another day, you know, maybe let's organize another day. They could have said that, but they did not, you know. Peter and John could have said that, you know, I know you have need, you know, blessed you. I can understand, you know, it's rough on you, but, you know, we're going to go away. We pray for you, okay? We hope we'll remember to pray for you. They could have also said that, but they did not, you know. They could have complained, you know. I'm sure that they must have, you know, encountered this person before, maybe many times, because, you know, it says that, you know, this person was carried by other people so that he could wait outside the door and ask for help every day. And here, Peter and John were again every day attending the prayer meeting at 3 in the afternoon, so they probably have met and maybe even have talked to this person before. And so therefore, it would be reasonable for Peter and John to say, is that, you know, why is it every time when we come to church, we were asked, we were identified, targeted to do all the works around here, you know. There is so-and-so, there's so-and-so, you know, there's a lot of other people in the church, you know. Why don't you ask them, but why pick on us today? They could have also said that, you know, wow, you know, our church is such a nice building. You know, back in those days, even though the temple was dilapidated, however, it is still magnificent. It is still very grand and majestic, you know. They could have thought to themselves and they could have told this guy asking for help that, you know, it doesn't seem very becoming of you to stand here at the gates called beautiful. Somehow, you know, the landscape is not very, you know, appropriate for you. You know, can you go somewhere else? Can you go across our streets, you know, stand opposite? Can you go to the side of 500 or, you know, 4th Street, you know? Can you do that? Maybe they could do that, but they did not do it, you know. And they could also have, you know, say that, you know, why is it that every time when we come to church, you know, people ask us for money? Why is it that every time when we come to church, you know, we're supposed to be receiving spiritual food? We are attending worship. We are here for the prayer meeting. We're supposed to be receiving from God spiritual food. And you're asking us to give? They could have said a lot of other things. And those a lot of other things might have a point to it. But we thank God that, you know, had Peter and John mentioned any one of those other things, you know, we probably would not have this story in Acts chapter 3. So, The bottom line is that, you know, when you're willing to serve, ask God to put first and foremost a love of human being, a love of people, a love of soul, you know, a love for the soul of people, especially those who have yet to come to know the Lord Jesus, in your heart first. Peter and John, you know, have just gone through a recent spiritual transformation. They experienced Pentecost, you know, they felt what it feels like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. They sense in so personal and so great a way that, wow, you know, God loves me so much. And what's more, God loves the entire humanity so much. They have new loves, new grace, new levels of compassion, new understanding, and new levels of patience. So now, given this opportunity posed by the beggar, you know, it is no wonder that, you know, they did not just chase him away. They did not just give him a pep talk. Rather, they listened to him. They did what they could to help him out. And this is one of the key things that makes stewards of talents, of ability, so important and so impactful. Because it is not you and I doing the work. It is the grace and the compassion of God working through each and every one of us. So, Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, they were doing the things that pleases God on a regular basis. They did not mind being interrupted. Maybe it had caused them inconvenience, but it's okay. It's okay, you know. They understand that, they appreciate that, and they knew that it was an opportunity to show and to share love, you know. And the third lesson we need to learn is that, you know, they used what they had. Peter and John used what they had to serve. In verse 6, you know, Peter started off with his first half of the response, silver or gold, I have none, or I do not have, you know. If you just stop there, you know, it sounds very disheartening. But Peter and John did not stop there, you know. What I have, I give you. I'm willing to share with you. When you are stewards, whether it be a steward of time or stewards of talents or opportunities or abilities, which is our focus this morning, when you are a steward of hearts, you know, you will always find a way to share. If you want to give, if God has given you a spirit of giving, of generosity, of sharing, you would find that, you know, you would find a way. You would find a way to share. You would find a way to care. You would find a way to write a note for someone who can use it. You would find a way, find time to call on the phone. You know, you will find a way to give a word of encouragement. You would find a way to say a kind word. You would find a way to say, you know, talk to a person, hey, you know, you don't look so happy this morning. Is something the matter? You know, want to talk about it later on? Or can I pray for you or pray together? If you are a giver, if you want to minister, you would always find a way to contribute using whatever you have. And the fourth point is that, you know, stewards or people who realize, you know, that their ministry, their work for God has impact on people who realize that their source of getting, receiving is God. Good and faithful stewards are people who realize where, you know, who our source is, that is God. They realize that the Lord Jesus stands behind all that we have to share, all that we have to offer. Verse 6, second half of Peter's response. Silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Again, it is very simple statement, but it is very, you know, very important for us to realize that Peter and John did not claim or hold on to their experience of having been two of the first 12 disciples of Jesus. They did not, you know, put any importance, you know, on the fact that, you know, we have been with Jesus for over 3 years now. You know, we are the most experienced people, so let us help you. But rather, they go back to the basic and the most important element. When I serve, when I use my gifts, Lord, you know, it is because of you. It is because of you, you know. Other people may notice it, but it's okay. But Jesus, you know that, you know, I did it mostly for you. And Peter and John realized that, you know, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Because they knew that they were not the ultimate provider. They knew that they were not the ultimate source. So therefore, they find ways to acknowledge God. Perhaps one of the reasons why we are not very keen on being stewards of God, no matter what kind of stewardship we're talking about, is that sometimes we underestimate or we underappreciate a very important truth in Scripture. That is, you and I, God wants to use you and I to help people. For example, when God heard the prayers of suffering of the people in Egypt, God could have extended his hands and then, you know, plucked the entire nation out and lifted them gently and safely in the land of Canaan. But he didn't do that. Instead, he used Moses, and along with Moses, other people. When the people of Israel, upon entering the land that God has promised to give them, they have to face a lot of enemies. And one of the enemies is, you know, in the town of Jericho. And they were outnumbered. God could have, you know, caused the entire city wall to crumble by just blowing on it. But he did not. He used Joshua and the army of Israel. So we see many examples like that, you know. And therefore, God directly blessed people. He directly works miracles. But it is also a very important principle that God indirectly does his miracles and blessings through human beings. And this is why you and I are stewards. We are stewards to share our finances. We are stewards to share our time. We are stewards to share the message of Christ. And we are stewards to share our abilities and our talents. I want to do, you know, this exercise with you in closing. God has entrusted something in each of us. It could be finances, it could be talents, it could be time. It could be, you know, a combination of those and other things. Right now in your mind, I want you to put down the name of somebody you want to share something with. Not necessarily money. Maybe time, maybe a phone call, maybe a card, maybe you want to offer something, you know, like babysitting, or cook a free meal for a couple who's been very busy, but something that you can do, something that you would like to do for that person. And you're going to do this with love and with praise to the Lord. I want you to think of something that you can do. I want you to think of someone in your mind. And then, you know, today, before you leave, or later on today, you know, just pray that God, thank you for showing me what I can do. This talent, this ability you have given to me, and help me to find a way to share with that person that you have brought to mind. If you can't remember anyone, think about people who serve on the board. Think about people who serve on ministry teams, praise team, committee. But ask God to do this exercise with you. And let us learn, little by little, to be stewards of the talents and opportunities that God has given to us, both in the church and outside. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that this stewardship thing is a huge, huge lesson, and it is a lifelong learning process for each and every one of us. But we thank you, O Lord, that you would never rush us into maturity. So therefore, help us, Father God, to learn, baby step, one at a time. We thank you, O Lord, for the many brothers and sisters in and outside of the church who are already wanting to be your stewards. But bless us, Father God, even more so, with a heavy dose of the spirit of stewardship, that we may be faithful, not just with our talents, but with our testimony, with our finances, with our time, with our environment, with the church building, and with the ability to praise you and to say thank you to you. This we ask, giving you thanks in advance. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.